You are listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with Steve Worsley, the toxic mold expert and your number one source for mold consulting and mitigation in the USA. Let's dive into a brand new episode. Before we get started on this episode, here's a not so short disclaimer. While all attempts have been made to verify the content provided in this podcast, neither the podcaster or the producers assume any responsibility for errors, omissions, or alternative interpretations of the issues discussed here. All information stated in this podcast is the opinion of Steve Worsley. Steve Worsley is a mold specialist with over 25 years of experience in the construction and mold industry. The Toxic Mold Podcast is for information sharing purposes only. The views expressed are those of the podcaster and his alone. These views should not be taken as expert instruction or commands. While there may be references to medical conditions and symptoms, all podcast episodes are the opinion of Steve Worsley, and any medical questions or concerns shall be addressed with the appropriate licensed medical professional or professionals. As the podcaster refers to different mold types, please be aware that Steve Worsley is not a microbiologist, and questions concerning mold specifics should be answered by the appropriate professional. Steve isn't, nor does he offer any legal advice. For any legal advice, you must speak with a lawyer. The listener is 100% responsible for his or her own actions. You can check out Steve's books on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and search for author Steve Worsley. You can also take Steve's courses on Udemy or Skillshare, and you can find out more about those at cnccontractorservices.com. Now, let's get to the episode.
Hello, you're listening to the Toxic Mold Podcast with myself, Steve Worsley, and once again, we have my wife, Cassandra.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for being here. We found out that maybe you're going to stick around. We're going to figure out how to get you away from your business stuff for an hour to record every week.
Yeah, it's only an hour.
So we appreciate it. I say it all the time. People that reach out to me always say, tell your wife she's doing great. And I appreciate it because, I don't know, I feel like I don't ask the questions you ask. So anyhow, today is episode 251. And today's topic is indoor air quality and toxic mold. So what I mean by that is different air quality concerns in a home that have nothing to do with mold. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
The reason I wanted to talk about it is a lot of times, you know, and this is just how life works and homes work and people, we have people that come and reach out to us or do consultations or whatever, and we've ruled out mold. And so then we have to look at other things like EMFs, VOCs. Radon isn't something, in my opinion, when I got certified, it's not something that you would see short-term negative health effects from. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Typically for radon exposure, once you find out that you've been exposed to too much radon, you have lung cancer. It's terrible, but that's just what it is. Like I said, I could be wrong, but for the most part, I don't know if there are any short-term health effects from radon exposure. But anyhow, my point is it could be EMFs, it could be VOCs, could be allergens, could be lots of different things, and you're just not thinking about it.
Absolutely. So literally, indoor air quality covers a lot of territory, including mold.
Exactly. And we've talked about this before. An industrial hygienist typically is who you would contact for other things besides mold. I use the term, I'm an indoor air quality specialist, but I wouldn't say that I have the education or the experience like an industrial hygienist does. But on the other hand, I don't think an industrial hygienist has the mold specialty like what I have. And I'm sure that there's plenty of them out there that I'm sure specialize in mold. But my point is I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not.
Absolutely. So, and really, your IAQ specialty is mold.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, I got certified in radon. We talk a lot about VOCs, EMFs we've never really talked about. Which, for our listeners, that's electromagnetic fields. So stuff like your microwave, high power lines, 5G was it a concern, remember?
Yes.
Like we were hearing the, I'm not sure how to word it, but the displeasure that supposedly airports and airplanes had with 5G. Supposedly it was affecting their equipment.
And 5G is still a concern, mind you.
Is it?
Yes. I don't know exactly why, but I'm going to tell you I'm going to agree with all of them because we've got lots of problems going on in this world.
Exactly. But that's what EMFs are. And, you know, for our listeners, you know, how would you know if it's EMFs? I don't know what an industrial hygienist has for equipment, but you can buy, if you go to Amazon, you can buy an EMF detector. And I am not well versed in it, so I'm not going to act like I do. But it is something that our listeners should and, you know, and could pay attention to. Now, EMF, though, remember there were times, especially when we used to live in town up in Wyoming, remember I would say, like, I always hear this low bassy sound. Mm-hmm. Remember I complained about that? It's not ear ringing like tinnitus, but that's typically EMFs. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I think the thing that people have to understand about indoor air quality is in the world we live in with homes as tightly closed as they are, with so many endocrine disrupting chemicals that we use every single day from our air fresheners to our hand soap, we are exposed to a lot of stuff we have no business being exposed to.
Yeah. You know, that's why my first book, The Mold Epidemic, you know, it addressed obviously mold, but that's my opinion when it comes to mold. That's why so many people are getting sick. And, you know, when I talk to clients, I like to explain it to them, like, you know, you would think in 2024 that because of our technology, we wouldn't have these issues. The main problem we have is when these building materials get wet. And when they get wet, that's where like formaldehyde comes into play. Like wet, certain components like insulation and sheetrock, it being wet is not what it was designed to do. Does that make sense?
What is like, formaldehyde? I usually think of formaldehyde with dead people. I don't
right,
know why.
And that's what it is it. It's a formaldehyde that's created from those wet building materials. I'm not well-versed in that enough, but my point is wet building materials are very toxic based on the chemicals and what those materials are made of. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And so essentially, and I guess, you know, some people may have come across this episode and it's the first toxic mold podcast episode they're listening to. And they're saying to themselves, okay, what's the connection between IAQ and toxic mold?
As far as like formaldehyde, what we're talking about?
Well, as far as any of this stuff, because I mean, I just think about candles. Today's candle is not like the candles we had in the 1980s.
Well, the reason we're talking about it is I want our listeners to understand that not they could be having negative health effects and be sick, and it has nothing to do with mold.
But then it makes them more susceptible to a toxic mold infestation if exactly. Their immune system is compromised because of VOCs or because of EMFs or because of formaldehyde.
Going back to what I said about formaldehyde, what did I say? It was wet building materials.
Yep.
Well, what does mold need? Moisture.
Moisture.
And I'm not saying this is common, like you're really sick and it has nothing to do with mold. But on the flip side of that, when you have wet building materials, that's when you get mold.
Well, but let's
go
down. It does make sense, but let's go down the rabbit hole, because at the end of the day, if I have air fresheners in my house that are endocrine disrupting and they screw up my hormones, and then I'm using candles that smell really great, but are volatile organic compounds that then cause me to have a compromised immune system.
And just to stop you there, though, I probably should have said VOCs is volatile organic compound.
Yes, but
I probably didn't define
that. But give some examples of VOCs, because people don't understand that candles are VOCs.
Right. Yep. Well, candles, perfumes, cologne, any off-gassing from... Now, the definition states organic materials, but it can be... When I talk about VOCs, I'm talking about anything that you can smell... Could be from cigarette smoke. It could be from paints, stains, cleaners. And like you said, air fresheners are a huge one. And, you know, people don't think about it. You know, I remember, you know, our kids, when they were younger, I don't even remember the brand name, but it was a body spray that came out.
Axe.
That's right. And I remember my son was like seriously coating himself in it.
Boys at that age, too, don't
they? Do. And it was like you could smell it from clear on the other end of the house. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Or maybe your sisters remember Aquanet?
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually remember in junior high, sorry to age myself, but we couldn't use aerosol air or deodorant.
Arid Extra Dry.
Yeah, we had to, it was, there was a hole in the ozone layer, and I'm not going to try to act like I know about this stuff, but that we were, they kind of banned it. And I don't know, I don't remember if it was just in school, but I remember my great-grandmother, I remember my sisters, Aquanet.
Yep.
I mean, they'd spray so much in their hair that, like, they could make it stand up straight.
Or even baby powder. People don't use it on babies nowadays because they're toxic.
Yeah, and if I recall, there's some sort of feminine products that was causing cancer for women.
100%.
I mean, you think of Roundup and all that stuff. And that's our point, is there's a lot of things that your kids could be doing, you could be doing in your home that you're not thinking about what it's doing to your health. And that's why I wanted to talk about it. I'm not trying to act like I know and I'm well-versed in other things, but I want our listeners to understand there's things you could be doing daily that's making you sick.
100%. And so, I guess the problem is the sicker we become because of these other indoor air quality issues, when a situation comes up in your house that's ripe for a mold infestation, now your compromised immune system is going to be hurt even more.
Yes.
By the mold infestation that comes about.
Yeah. And I try to, when I talk to my clients about mold sickness or mold toxicity, I like to compare it to COVID. COVID, which now they're classifying it as a flu.
Yeah, that's what the New York Times or Wall Street Journal said.
But those that got COVID, you know, that it didn't affect children. Like with mold, it affects children and the elderly or those with any underlying conditions or autoimmune disorders. But COVID was similar in the fact that it weakened people so much. And if they had certain whatever health conditions, it killed them. And I mean, I remember when we got COVID, we were pretty sick
for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah. We're pretty
2 weeks straight.
We're pretty healthy people. But my point is, and that's what you're saying, is you've already had, you're already compromising your immune system because it's trying to fight off all these VOCs. And then if you get mycotoxin exposure, it's really going to make you sick.
Let alone if you already have autoimmune disorders, if you already have lupus or thyroid or any of the range of fibromyalgia, you have any of the autoimmune stuff, you are already compromised.
Yep.
So this is something you have to educate yourself on because there is so much on the list of what are volatile organic compounds. There is so much under the EMFs. There is so much under mold that if you're not aware, then you're not really paying attention to whether that's a factor for you.
Exactly. And I had someone that was reaching out to me, and she lived in a apartment complex that had, I don't know, hundreds of units. And I had to explain to her how, like, what could be going on in her neighboring unit next, you know, or adjacent to her unit could really affect her. Because depending on the air pressures, it could be pulling all of that, what I call dirty air, contaminated air, into her unit. But even if you don't live in a multi-family housing, you know, apartment complex or whatever, it's the same concept. Your teenage son down in his bedroom, who is burning candles all the time or using that body spray, could affect everybody else in the home based on the air pressures.
Correct.
So
what do you say to people if somebody's listening to this and they're like, oh my goodness, now I'm starting to feel overwhelmed. There's like this EMF thing and there's this VOC thing. And then I thought I was just listening to it for this mold thing. How do I know whether what I'm experiencing is due to VOCs, EMFs, or mold? How do I know which one it is?
You would have to get a specialist to come in.
Okay.
And like I mentioned before, you know, there's industrial hygienists out there that kind of cover more of the whole spectrum. And then there's a lot of us that do just the mold side of things. And so you need to get, I can't stress this enough, you must have a property inspection done. And, you know, if it is VOCs, you know, those are things I know for myself that I would educate my clients about. I would educate them about EMFs or VOCs or maybe pets, you know, depending on what it is. Let's say it is EMFs. Well, for the most part, either you start getting rid of all these devices that we have, computers and TVs, and maybe the client lives next to a high power transmission line. Like if it's something like that, you'd have to move. But I guess my point is you should get the proper professional in there. And, you know, we talk about it. You call it the Lufty, but we have a Luft indoor air quality monitor in our house. And it covers six things. Hopefully I can remember all of them. I didn't think we were going to go into that. But the main thing it records, which is very handy, is radon. And it's the same company that we use as professionals for radon monitors. So it's not some cheap knockoff that just, you know, monitors radon, but it does radon, TVOCs, DCO2, temperature, humidity, and air pressure. There, I got all six of them.
There you go.
And I'm an affiliate with Luft, and we've talked about it before. We'll put the link in the description, but it monitors those six different things. Now, does that monitor mold? Not per se, but you can look at it and see, especially the radon, which causes cancer. You can look at that, and if our listeners buy it through the link, which is my affiliate link, I actually provide 12 months of, I look over, analyze, whatever term you want to use. I look over their quarterly results.
Wow.
And all they have to do is send it to me every quarter.
Absolutely. And it's worth having an expert looking at those quarterly results, because sometimes you're tracking stuff and you look at it, you're like, I don't know what any of this means.
Right. Yep. And it, you know, you do have to, if you go buy one, you do have to send me results. I can't analyze something I don't have access to, but it's very handy to monitor the overall air quality. You know, what we have noticed is like our VOCs tend to be high quite often, don't they?
They do. What is it, the CO2?
The ECO2 once in a while. And I think that's more from the dog.
Okay.
Being right next to it. But we can look at the VOCs and say, well, okay, where is it sitting? Well, where do we have our monitor? It's right next to the kitchen.
That's true.
So when you burn food, that's probably what it is.
Yeah, I don't burn food.
That was a joke.
But the truth is I don't cook enough to burn food. There you go.
But, you know, we can look at things like that. Like, why is the VOC jumping in the afternoon? Or, you know, we look at where it's put. For radon, you should test in the lowest livable level. So it should be in the basement, but we don't have ours in the basement. But I guess my point is, like you said, you can have someone that understands indoor air quality look at it and say, hey, you know, you need to do this, this, and this. But one thing that our listeners can do when it comes to many things, now, of course, you should have a professional involved, but proper ventilation takes care of a lot of issues for indoor air quality.
In other words, open the doors and windows regularly.
Yeah, grabbing that can of Lysol disinfectant spray, in my opinion, depending on what you're using it for, but if you're just using it all the time, daily, the VOCs and off-gassing from that, to me, probably wouldn't be that healthy. Just grabbing that, in my opinion, is worse than opening windows. And this time of year, we've had decent weather, but it doesn't hurt even in the middle of the winter when it's cold. If it's not raining or snowing, get some airflow through your home.
Absolutely. But, you know, if you're in Florida with alligators, I don't know if you'd want to keep the doors open. I see some of these videos. I don't know about Florida people.
Yeah.
You don't want an alligator walking in your house.
That's luckily out west. We don't have to worry about that. But that, my point is that Luft monitor is really handy. You talk about it way more than I do. I probably should mention it more often.
It's very handy. And it gives you a constant measurement of what's happening. So you can look at historically what's been happening. You can look at today. You can look at this week. You can look at the last 6 months.
Exactly. And unless the price has gone up, I think it's $250. It's not that expensive. And like I said, I don't know the proper verbiage because I'm not that technically inclined, but you can look at it through your phone. So you have to hook it to your internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or your Wi-Fi.
Bluetooth it.
And then you Bluetooth it to your phone.
Yep.
So from your phone, I guess my point is it's just a unit you plug in. You can't see anything except for it turns different colors. Obviously, red's not good. But all the information, you just look at it right on your phone.
Which is awesome. It's like, you know, your CGM, continuous glucose monitor, or your Oura Ring, or your Garmin watch, but for your home.
Exactly. Yep. Like that CGM I never use. So
that's right. EMFs. Let's go back to EMFs for a minute, because what happens if somebody's figures out that they're dealing with electromagnetic fields? What do you do once you're like, I have high EMFs?
Well, you'd have to determine where in the home they're very high. And, you know, somewhere like by a microwave, obviously it would be higher. If you were to go down in your office and, you know, you have your laptop and a desktop and then a TV and then another second monitor, you know, you have to look at all those devices. If the EMFs are high throughout the entire house, and like I said, I'm not a specialist in this, but if they're high in the entire home and you go outside and you're like, oh, we have high voltage lines, electricity running right there, all you can really do is move. Airflow or ventilation is not going to help with EMFs.
Do cell phones emit EMFs? I was just thinking about cell phones.
Yeah, but remember, once again, I'm not trying to show my age, but remember the brick phones when they first come out? They were literally massive. Anyhow, I remember when cell phones first came out, they claimed they caused cancer. Assuming they don't, and I would hope they don't because we all use them. But I would imagine, yes, it has EMFs, but I would imagine they're pretty low. As far as something like the power lines.
Because I know I'm guilty of putting my cell phone in my pocket and walking around with it. And I don't actually think that's probably very good for your reproductive system, which is why men shouldn't have laptops on their lap either. It's not good for the reproductive system.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, you know, I would imagine the EMFs for our iPhones compared to that brick phone are a lot, way less.
Okay.
So it's something that you should be concerned about. But like I said, I wanted to just talk about in this episode, it's not always a mold concern when you're talking about indoor air quality.
And you have to take into consideration because if whatever it is, if it's not a mold concern, compromises your immune system, and especially if your immune system is already compromised, when a mold thing comes up, you're at a serious disadvantage for mold sickness.
Yep. Yeah, because a healthy person, for the most part, you know, wouldn't be mold sensitive. But like you said, if you have VOCs or EMFs or allergens, your body's already trying to fight that. And so your reaction to mycotoxins or mold would be significantly more harmful to you than it would be a healthy person.
Absolutely.
So, pretty simple. So we appreciate all of you for listening. We actually went a little longer than we normally do, but it's called life. So, but this was episode 251.
Oh, wait. What's your call to action? You just said it, but we might as well say it one more time.
Don't just assume that mold in your home is what's making you sick.
Absolutely. And make sure you monitor what's going on in your home using something like the Luft.
Yeah. And on top of that, though, not to keep going longer, but this is life. Remember, too, that it might not always be your home that's making you sick.
Oh, that's true.
Could be your parents, could be family members, the workplace, school, your car. Those are things to keep in mind, too. It's not always just in your home.
Absolutely. You said it.
Perfect. Okay. So this was episode 251. We appreciate all of you for listening. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you go to our website at cnccontractorservices.com and sign up for the mold investigation checklist. Again, go to cnccontractorservices.com and get your free mold investigation checklist today. You can also on cnccontractorservices.com find out more about Steve's courses and books and consultations. Once again, go to cnccontractorservices.com.